Now, tell me about your father.
City Counselling on 95BFM, our weekly chat with the good people of Auckland Council.
Auckland Council's Policy and Planning Committee met yesterday to vote on a new plan that would zone the city for 2 million homes, primarily around train stations and rapid bus routes. This plan is a response to legislation put forward by Housing Minister Chris Bishop, which requires councils across the country to zone for higher density housing. This plan has not been without controversy, with councillors claiming that Aucklanders are, quote, being put to the firing squad. Deputy PM David Seymour has publicly disagreed with his own housing minister, arguing that suburbs like Epsom and Parnell don't have the right infrastructure to accommodate for this growth. However, advocates for this plan, including Mayor Wayne Brown, argue that the council cannot continue to drag its feet on the need for housing that is closer to the city and is more affordable. They argue that it's better to build in places with pipes, public transport routes, and job opportunities. The plan passed with a majority last evening, so I talked to Councillor Julie Ferry about the plan change and what it means for the future of the city. Julie, could you maybe walk me through a little bit about what this plan promises for the future of the city?
So the main thing this plan promises is more housing. And the choice that council had was between two plans that overall would create the same extra capacity for housing. But importantly, the difference with the one that we passed is that a lot more of that housing is going to be close to transport hubs, close to town centres, and away from flood risk. That's the really big difference on the housing front between the two plans. And obviously it's not perfect. You know, nobody there yesterday put their hand up and said, this is amazing and perfect and we don't need to change it anymore. There's a process to go through for public submissions, for hearings. There'll be independent commissioners who assess all the inputs and go, okay, this is how we polish this up and make it better. And council will be an active participant in that process, although those commissioners will then decide the final shape, bring it back to council probably in about 18 months, and then council will vote on, okay, this is the new plan, and after that it will start to take effect. So, yeah, huge win for the compact city. A much better plan than the alternative on lowering emissions, way better on flood protection, really important to me. So a big step forward, not there yet, definitely got a lot of work to do, but pretty exciting.
Now, opponents of the plan have argued that this, you know, the zoning will allow for capacity that we won't ever need, that there is not sufficient infrastructure in inner city suburbs, that we don't need to zone for that much housing, but also that there hasn't been enough time to consult on it, and that we should opt for more greenfield development and building outside of the city and not in suburbs like Mount Eden, Parnell, Herne Bay, and Grey Lynn. What do you have to say to people who bring up that opposition to you?
I think the first thing to understand is that this process and the rush of it has been not the choosing of council at all, has been a construct of central government choices. And while, again, nobody put their hand up yesterday and said, I like this process so far, it is born of frustration from central government, both the previous government and this government, that they've now passed two laws going back to 2021 saying, Auckland Council, you're not doing enough on housing. So while this process has been very short, and Councillor Richard Hills, who's led the process from the council end, wanted central government to pass their legislation back in at the latest May, June, so that we could do some pre-consultation with the community. Central government chose to pass it in late August, giving us no time. It is still, like for councillors at least, none of this is a surprise. We have been working on workshops towards this. We thought the process might be a little bit different from this, but we've been working on this literally probably for over a year. So this is not new. And so there's that. Around the infrastructure, all of the information we've had repeatedly from staff, from Watercare, from Auckland Transport, from the Chief Economist for Council, is that the infrastructure is there now for quite a lot of this capacity in the central area where we are pushing out. And finally, it's really important to understand that there's a difference between how much capacity we enable through the plan and how much will ultimately be built. There was a lot of discussion ahead of yesterday and again a little bit yesterday too about the idea of staging. firstly, legally, we can't do that with this kind of plan change. You can't say, this part of the city, you can do 10 stories in the next 5 years, and then after that you can do it in another part of the city. You actually can't do that legally with these kinds of processes. But the other thing is that the more we restrict where you can do this kind of building, where you can build these different types of housing as well, then the less likely you are to get the ultimate outcomes that you're after as a city, because we do rely on the market to do that building. And if we restrict them, then that puts the cost of the land in the restricted area up a lot and makes it much less commercially viable that they will actually be able to do it. We potentially get in a situation where we're saying to people, hey, because your land has to, you know, needs to be this, you know, 10 stories in the next 5 years, there's a lot of pressure on that landowner. They're going to be living in their family home on that site. And then we get close to requiring people to do stuff with their land, which is just not how we work as a city, as a country. So, you know, there's a whole lot of stuff tied up in with some of these ideas that might seem very common sense, but actually when you start to peel away, well, hang on, how would that play out? You start to get into some stuff quite quickly that is not the way that New Zealanders or Aucklanders like to acknowledge property rights and things like that. Yeah,
it's interesting. You mentioned that, you know, we're relying on the market to deliver this housing as well, and I suppose this might be more of a question aimed at the relationship between central government and local government. But there's a question of affordable housing. Will this improve housing affordability for Aucklanders? Because we know that the lack of density has been bumping up the value of land and the value of housing, particularly in these inner city suburbs. But the housing that is proposed to be delivered through this plan will be delivered through the market, through private developers.
Yeah, we had some interesting debate about that yesterday. I mean, the advice, not just from the council economist, whose, you know, job is it is to know this stuff and explain it, but also from a lot of other commentators, is that the key thing that is increasing the price of housing for Auckland at the moment is the cost of land. And I asked the economist directly about this yesterday, you know, explain how does this work? How does having, you know, increasing how high you can go close to train stations actually decrease the cost of housing? And there's a couple of different ways, but the key thing that he explained was that because when you build up, you have more units on a single piece of land, that brings down the cost per unit of the land, which is the highest portion of the price, right? So if you've got, say you've got 10 apartments on a piece of land, the cost of that piece of land then gets divided by 10 across them. Perhaps not evenly. You might have a, you know, a penthouse, a fancy one. You might have something at ground level that's more basic, whatever. But it brings down the biggest component of the cost of buying into that development, which is the land. The other thing that it does is it gives us more capacity of different types of housing. And that's really important. Single houses, so standalone, largely three-bedroom houses, have been the predominant type of housing in Auckland for a long time. They're still actually the most common type of housing that we build as a city, even though we've been making changes to encourage other types. And they just don't suit everybody at every stage of their lives. And they're quite expensive. They're expensive to build as well as taking up quite a large piece of land, which again is a large component of the price. And so if you start to have these different types of housing, particularly if you have them close to transport, then you start to give people more choice about, hey, actually at this time in my life, an apartment suits me better, or a townhouse, or a duplex, or hey, as a first home buyer, I don't have to save a massive deposit to get into a three-bedroom house. I could buy a unit. And, you know, then later on in life, when perhaps my situation changes and I need a larger property, I could go into that. And so you start to also free up some of those houses that are too big for the people that are in them now. They start to have options to move within their own neighbourhood to something smaller that suits them. And all of this stuff has an impact on price. So it's, yeah, I'm really excited, particularly about the different types of housing we're going to get and the idea that people can stay in their neighbourhood when their life situation changes. They don't have to move away, lose connection, lose access to services, because, you know, their situation changed and they couldn't afford or didn't need a big house anymore, they'll be able to buy an apartment in the town centre or, you know, a brick and tile unit maybe next door and keep those connections. That's something I'm particularly excited about.
That was Julie Ferry on the passing of Plan Change 78 and what zoning for high-density housing promises for the future of the city in terms of housing affordability.
Have you tried mindfulness? Try mindfulness.
City Counselling on 95 BFM.